Hi, everyone. Welcome to Season 2 and Episode 18 of the From the Outside with Sarah C. podcast. I am Sarah Crosscut, the host and creator of this podcast and the owner and facilitator of From the Outside, a series of plant and nature-based lessons that help us to cultivate a deeper relationship to the natural world, ourselves, and each other. In addition, I am a published environmental writer. My work has been included in several anthologies published by Plants and Poetry Journal, www.plantsandpoetry.org, and Wild Roof Journal, www.wildroofjournal.com. You can learn more and find links on my website, www.fromtheoutsidellc.com. In Season 2, we explore the theme, the numinous nature of nature. Beginning with the elements of earth, air, fire, and water, and moving on to explore the diverse ecosystems and landscapes of our beautiful planet. I ponder the mysterious, the profound, and the sacred within the natural world, of which we are an integral part. How can our purposeful and intentional connection to the elements and unique landscapes deepen our connection to nature and our authentic self? What can we learn and what wisdom can we gain when we observe mindfully and tap into the form and function of each element and ecosystem? I encourage you to continue to listen in. So to begin our exploration of the air element, let's first look at the components of air. The composition of the air in our atmosphere looks a little like this. So nitrogen, our atmosphere is about 78% nitrogen. So why is nitrogen important to have in our atmosphere? Well, nitrogen is a key element for life. It is one of the two major elements necessary for plant growth. The other element is phosphorus. Atmospheric nitrogen is an unusable form of nitrogen for living things, however. It must be transformed to a usable form. This process is called nitrogen fixation. And nitrogen can be fixed in a few ways. Lightning can fix small amounts of nitrogen. Industrial processes to make chemical fertilizers. So when we figured out how to put together ammonia, that's when we began to process and make chemical fertilizers on a large scale. However, the number one way is through soil bacteria. All that bacteria, all that great bacteria in soil helps to fix the nitrogen into a form that plants can readily use for growth. So this is a key reason why creating and maintaining healthy soil is so important. Nitrogen is also a key element in nucleic acids, the biochemical macromolecules of RNA, ribonucleic acid, and DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, which are responsible for the recipes and synthesis of proteins. DNA, of course, if you remember from high school biology, is known as the blueprint for life and is the vehicle for our genetic code and inherited characteristics. So nitrogen is a very important element to living things on our planet. So 21% of the air in our atmosphere is oxygen. So not really going to say a whole lot about oxygen. It seems pretty obvious as to why we need it in our atmosphere. So moving on, carbon dioxide, which we hear a lot about in this day and age, is 0.04% in natural systems, in our natural atmosphere, it would be just a small component of that air. But atmospheric carbon dioxide has been on the rise since the Industrial Revolution. It is necessary for plant growth. If you think about the photosynthesis and cellular respiration, when we exhale our carbon dioxide, plants use that carbon dioxide to create, in the sunlight, to create their own sugars and then release oxygen as a byproduct. Carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas, but a necessary component of our atmosphere to insulate our planet and make it temperate enough for us to live. There are 800,000 years of ice core data in Antarctica that reveals the relationship between carbon dioxide levels and the temperature on our planet. And there are very much natural cycles of as carbon dioxide increases, so does temperature. As carbon dioxide levels drop, so does temperature on our planet. However, since the Industrial Revolution, carbon dioxide levels in our atmosphere have been increasing due to the increased use of fossil fuels, as CO2 is a product of the combustion of fossil fuels being oil, natural gas, and coal. Although CO2 levels are rising and contributing heavily to human-induced global warming, it is not the gas with the highest global warming potential, or GWP. There are other greenhouse gases that have a greater warming potential, meaning they hold more heat and may linger longer in the atmosphere than carbon dioxide, but it's just that their concentrations in our atmosphere are so very much smaller than carbon dioxide, so we don't hear a lot about them. If we stopped all carbon dioxide emissions in our atmosphere right now, the carbon dioxide that we release into our atmosphere today would remain in our atmosphere for about 100 years. So it would take that long for that carbon dioxide to kind of cycle around. It doesn't disappear overnight. It might surprise you, but carbon dioxide is not the most abundant greenhouse gas either. In our atmosphere, water vapor is the most abundant greenhouse gas in our atmosphere. In addition, there is argon. We also have some helium, neon, methane, of course, pollution, particulate matter, including microplastics. So, as a side note, I encourage you to follow my dear friend Erin. She is the owner of Eco Inspired, a zero waste refill shop located in Richmond, Virginia, in the Bonaire area. She researches and shares so much knowledge to our community around the environmental and human consequences of plastics. And you can find her on Instagram at Living Eco Inspired, or in her shop, Eco Inspired, in the Bonaire area of Richmond, Virginia. So we have talked about the basic components of our atmosphere. Of course, I could talk extensively about atmospheric carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases and their effects on our planet's climate, but I'm not going to do that, at least not in this episode. I know it's an important topic, but, and I may address it later, but not today. But let me just say, we as a species are changing the basic chemistry of our planet right now, in this moment, on a planetary scale of both air and water. It is all complicated and interconnected. Our atmosphere interfaces with the oceans. Carbon dioxide is exchanged at the surface, mixed in by waves and currents, and reacts with water molecules to form an acid, which has so far reduced the pH or increased the acidity of our oceans by about 30%, making our oceans more acidic. So we are nature. Here's my point. We are not separate from the larger systems of our planet. Our relationship with and reverence for each element and ecosystem is missing. We have become disconnected and disintegrated from our source of life. We have become independent without interdependence. Our relationship with nature has been replaced by our fanatical use of fossil fuels, our extreme extraction of natural resources, and our compulsion to overproduce, overbuild, and overbuy. Our planet and all the life on it is so amazing. Everything has a purpose in part. The Earth's natural systems can cycle nutrients, elements, and water to maintain harmony and balance. Natural systems are resilient to a point. So we, as humans, must reintegrate ourselves and be a part of that larger system. Relinquish our independence and embrace our interdependence. It is this innate, fundamental relationship with the natural world of which we are an integral part that will heal our planet, each of us individually, and our collective being. So, when I ponder the characteristics of the air element, what it embodies, the first thing that comes to mind is wind. So the movement of air in response to changes in pressure. And this happens globally and it happens locally when we talk about weather, but this helps the planet to maintain balance. So let's start big. Let's talk about global wind patterns at various latitudes that create these convection currents, the rising and sinking of air as it heats and cools, that drive wind currents and water currents that distribute heat and precipitation. All these individual cells of circulating air and larger air currents that drive water currents help our planet to maintain equilibrium or balance. But keep in mind, this balance is not static. It's not like it happens once, okay, we're good. Just like in living organisms, maintaining balance is dynamic. It's dynamic equilibrium. And we and the planet are maintaining balance continuously. So think about this like cruise control on your car. Right? It's always trying to maintain the speed to which it is set, and it adjusts as the terrain changes. You can feel it speed up or you can feel it brake. So that's what I'm talking about with this movement of air in response to changes in pressure. So another thing I think about on a global scale with air is the seasonal planetary psi, which I am going to mention again in an essay that I will read to you towards the end of this podcast. The northern hemisphere of our planet has more vegetation than the southern hemisphere. And many of the flora species are deciduous, meaning they lose their leaves at the end of the growing season. So photosynthesis ceases as they fall into a state of rest over winter. So it would make sense that in the summer months in the northern hemisphere, when leaves are out and plants are growing, the amount of atmospheric carbon dioxide would be lower due to the increased rate of photosynthesis. And in the winter, when leaves have fallen, the amount of atmospheric carbon dioxide increases because the rate of photosynthesis has decreased. It's like a big inhale and exhale, the breath of Gaia, a giant planetary sigh. Interesting, right? Also, on a big scale, is the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. Well, and in the Southern Hemisphere, the Southern Lights. So recently, we have heard a lot about them in news reports, thanks to where we are in our solar cycle. Our sun is emitting extraordinary amounts of energy in the form of charged particles. And these charged particles violently slam into the Earth's magnetic field at about 45 million miles per hour. So fortunately, that magnetic field protects us from the particle onslaught and redirects these highly energized particles to the poles. As I mentioned, there are Southern Lights as well as Northern Lights. That's why we typically only see these amazing light displays in geographic areas that are located beneath the auroral oval, which is an area between 60 and 75 degrees north or south latitude. Lately, the sun has emitted so much energy that we can see the spectacular display of dancing lights at lower latitudes. But let's be honest, this beauty and awe is created out of an extremely turbulent event. But it gets me thinking. Beauty and awe from disturbance is not that unusual in nature. I can think of several circumstances where this might be the outcome. So now let's think about the air element on a smaller scale. So here I ponder the weather patterns and systems that we experience on a local level. I think about the warm breezes of summer, which help us connect into times of rest and relaxation and joy and peace and beauty. A late afternoon thunderstorm, perhaps. Thunder. The sound of lightning, the sound lightning creates as it flashes, is produced by the rapid expansion and contraction of air. If we continue with the weather theme, let's talk about tornadoes and hurricanes, rotating, spinning air that can cause devastating damage. These events almost seem living as they need certain conditions to maintain their strength. These are the observations of the air element that I have pondered. So, how do I integrate or connect to the wisdom of the air element? So there are three questions you need to ask yourself, and I have used these three questions in several of the little practice activities that I gave you in season one. So here are the three questions. What do you notice in observing the air element? What is the air element telling you or showing you? And what significance or wisdom can it share with you to cultivate a deeper connection to nature, to yourself and others? So if it's showing you or sort of telling you something, then the third question is, how can you take that and make it significant to you in your life? So we have already explored some air element observations on a global and local scale. And some of this information might be scientific knowledge. We talked about the importance of scientific knowledge or traditional ecological knowledge in our relationship with nature before, or it may be something that you may have experienced, like the Northern Lights, a tornado, or a hurricane. Regardless, we can think about what we know or have experienced in real life around the air element And we can ask ourselves those three questions. So let's explore some of the connections that we can make. So the first thing that came to mind to me was lightness. Air is all about lightness, right? Sort of the lightness of being, relaxation, joy, peace, beauty, rest. So if we think about that, that's one thing, that how we can connect to the air element. The second thing I thought of was breath. So breath being our inhale and exhale, like the planetary sigh, like the chemical equation, so similar, photosynthesis and cellular respiration, how we provide something to plants and then they turn around and provide something to us. When we talk about the exchange of carbon dioxide and oxygen. But breath is our connection to all living beings. Because of that relationship we have with plants, the air that is here has been here for as long as our planet has been here. So our breath is also our connection to our ancestors through that ancient air. We can capture and circulate their wisdom and guidance through our breath, the movement of air. Think about that deep connection, not only to our ancestors, but to the plant kingdom. The third thing I thought of was winds of change, turbulence or disturbance, whether it's just heavy winds or something more devastating like a big storm. So turbulence and disturbances or winds of change, they're tough to get through, but often they can bring new breath, new ideas. They can sweep away the old, and weathering these winds of change can help us to build resilience. Remember, nothing is static. Nothing is going to stay the same, including life, including all the things that we do every day. But we can learn to kind of go with that flow, right, of air that helps us to become more resilient, build that resilience. So I also thought about balance, that balance of carbon dioxide and oxygen, maintaining our balance, using our breath to bring us back into balance, and also how our respiration can change. When I think about the thunder, how the sound of thunder comes from a very rapid expansion and contraction of air, I think about how our respiration can change, expand and contract quickly if we become scared or stressed. Even in exercise, our breathing rate changes, right? We inhale and exhale more deeply to pump that oxygen to our muscles to maintain that balance so that we can keep exercising. The next thing is expansion. So when you look up, the air element in our atmosphere is so expansive. So think about when you're creating, when you're setting goals, when you're thinking about the next path, the sky is the limit. It's infinite. Then I thought about hurricanes and tornadoes, specifically that rotation of air, the spinning out or spinning up. So sometimes we get so spun out, worked up, that we might need to A, bring ourselves back down with our breath, right? Because we can control that when we think about it and we're mindful about our breathing, we can control it. And we might need to use our breath to bring us down a little bit, to kind of get us out of that rotation and pull ourselves back down to the ground. So that's something that we can use our breath for. And sometimes we, if you listen to the Earth Element, which is my podcast last month, I gave you lots of activity as to how to ground yourself. And so maybe we go back to the Earth Element and we say, okay, Earth Element, I'm really spun out. So help me to get myself back on the ground. And then the last thing I thought of, which really goes back to kind of the Northern Lights, was that highly charged, high energy beauty and awe from disturbance. So sometimes we go through some major turbulence, but become brighter, more confident in our self-worth as we emerge from that disturbance, or even as we go through it. That turbulence kind of shakes us up and helps us see something more beautiful and awesome as we go through it. So there is so much more that you may observe or experience with the air element. And I encourage you to ponder the experiences that you have had or that you observe. So I'm going to leave you with this practice and activity, which will help you to connect to that air element. So you will need a writing utensil and a journal to write down your observations and the feelings of your experience. And so the goal is to make contact with the earth and her elements. So find a spot outdoors. Try to make contact daily. It can be like 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or you can start out with a small amount of time and then increase your time. So be intentional and purposeful in your contact. So honor your time with a deep breath, a chant, set your intention to begin and end your time. Be sure to connect with your whole body. How does your skin feel? What do you smell? Use that air element. Do you see the movement of the air in the things around you? What do you hear? Focus on your breath and breathing in all that ancient air and wisdom, sort of the stardust. As you breathe deeply, pause at the top of your breath and visualize kind of all of that wisdom and stardust and ancient air circulating through your body and into your cells. Actually visualize it and then exhale fully. And you can do this as many times as you would like. Connect with the living things around you. Imagine your exchange as you exhale of carbon dioxide with the plants, and then imagine that oxygen sort of coming from the plants and you breathing it in. And then sink into the rhythm of the breath, the rhythm of nature. It builds resilience. So when big winds of change come, and they will, you know they will, you know that they will also pass. And it's all part of life here on this big, beautiful planet. And be sure and reflect and journal your observations and experience, because things will show up over time when you write them down. So remember the three questions. What do you notice about the air element? What is it telling you or showing you? And then what is the significance or wisdom to you? How can you take what you observe and apply it to your own self? As always, I encourage you to share your experiences in cultivating your purposeful and intentional relationship with nature. I would love to hear how your practice is progressing. My email is fromtheoutsidellc@gmail.com. So please feel free to reach out and tell me how it's going. I would love to know. So another thing coming up, in conjunction with these monthly podcasts, I am also offering a free 45-minute monthly webinar, which is offered on the third Wednesday of the month at 2 p.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern. So I invite you to join me in the next webinar, which is connecting with the fire element, and that is Wednesday, March 20th. So you can register on my website, www.fromtheoutsidellc.com and just click on the webinars tab on the menu bar, and it should take you right to the RSVP after the description of the monthly webinar. So as I said earlier, I am going to read to you one of my essays called Breath. It is a reminder to you that you always have access to the wisdom of the air element. Just simply breathe. Breathe in, breathe out. Inhale, exhale. A simple exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. We breathe an average of 23,040 breaths a day. Most of these breaths are involuntary, controlled by the brainstem, varying with our level of activity, anxiety, or excitation. They come and go without us even taking notice. When we breathe without thought, our breath can become shallow, irregular, and inefficient. Our body attempts to shift our breathing pattern when we are disappointed, defeated, frustrated, bored, anxious, stressed, or wishful by emitting an audible, forceful exhale, the sigh. Materializing several times a day, the sigh is often interpreted negatively as a form of passive communication by those around us. However, the sigh is not a means of communicating our emotions to another. It is simply a big exhale, a point to be present, a moment of mindfulness, or a fraction of time to refocus. It is our body's response to our unconscious rhythm of breath, a reminder for us to breathe out and let it go. Plants use carbon dioxide and produce oxygen in the process of photosynthesis. Larger plants, like trees, process a lot of carbon dioxide and in turn manufacture a lot of oxygen. In essence, they are the lungs of the planet. Scientists have observed fluctuations in the levels of global atmospheric carbon dioxide over a 12-month period. The two hemispheres of the planet have opposite growing seasons. Seemingly, the influence these opposite growing seasons have on global carbon dioxide levels would cancel each other out. However, the northern hemisphere has more land area and therefore more foliage than the southern hemisphere. The growing season in the northern hemisphere, especially during the warmer months of summer, influences the amount of carbon dioxide measured in the atmosphere. Plants use more carbon dioxide from the atmosphere as they photosynthesize and grow, lowering global atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. As deciduous trees lose their leaves in the cooler months and photosynthesis ceases, global atmospheric carbon dioxide levels increase. And these fluctuations in atmospheric carbon dioxide levels are equivalent to the Earth taking a giant inhale and exhale, a planetary sigh. Our breath is our anchor, our tether, our connection. When we are conscious of our breath, we can bring our awareness and focus out from the confusing and chaotic clouds of our head down to our calming, compassionate, loving heart center. The simple practice of breathing, the gentle exchange of oxygen for carbon dioxide, can help us restore relationships, foster forgiveness, strengthen our capacity for self-love, and create space to hold thought and connection to others and to our environment. Thank you, as always, from the bottom of my heart, so much for listening. I encourage you to venture out to your backyard, a local park, a green space near where you work, and spend a few minutes purposefully and intentionally connecting with nature. Use your whole body, really integrate into your being what you see, smell, hear, and feel. Spend time with those you love or sit in silent solitude and stillness. They are important states of being in nurturing our nature connections. Acknowledge nature's wisdom and role in your life. Nature shows us how beautiful and transformative growth can be. Remember, we are all connected to the source of life and each other. With that said, you can connect with me through my website, www.fromtheoutsidellc.com, or on Instagram at @SarahC_outside. Links to my podcast, website, publications, webinars, and all the things can be found there. Visit my website for upcoming classes in the local community, webinars, latest publications, and details on workshops available for educational settings, professional development, recovery programs, conferences, or other groups. And always, as always, please, please feel free to reach out. And until next time, take care.